I don't think we've met before, but I'm the referee on this field.
Leinster could offer me $5 million a year, I wouldn't go.
It is Johnny Moe!
Robbie Weekly.
Little reverse pass. Oh!
Hi there and welcome along to Rugby Weekly. On the eve of Ireland against the Wallabies, there's been a lot of talking, lots by us this week on our subscribers pods on Monday and Wednesday. But Murray Kinsley here, joined by Ciarán Kennedy for a final update from the Aviva Stadium, where Ciarán is, having spoken to Caelan Doris. How did everything go there, Ciarán?
All good, Murray. Yeah, all good. Caelan Doris is up today. The usual crack here. They ran through the captain's room and then we had Doris for about 20 minutes after. He seemed in pretty good form. It sounds like they've had a pretty special week. There's obviously these nice, lovely, actually commemorative jerseys for the match against Australia tomorrow. They were presented to the squad by Ollie Campbell last night. He was speaking a bit about that. So that 150th anniversary match has been a big theme, I think, in the squad this week, but also a pretty special milestone for Keane Healy, who's kind of come off the bench and become Ireland's most capped player. The group were in watching highlights of Healy's debut earlier in the week, which, you know, we know Healy doesn't like really being the focus of attention. So I wonder how he found that experience. But it was just funny listening to Doris talking about, you know, whatever about the explosiveness of Healy at that age. It was kind of the skill set and the stepping that stood out. So, he was in good form here. And just, I think, like the rest of us, really looking forward to what's shaping up to be a pretty cracking occasion tomorrow.
I'd say there's some good highlights in there. Keane Healy, initially when he broke through, and the game was so different as well, like a rampaging bull, but with skills on top of it. And it's mad looking back at that now. And the longevity has been quite incredible. So that reception he'll get is totally deserved. And we know that Farrell's brilliant at those behind the scenes teaming kind of exercises, isn't he? I don't think we hear half of it, really, to be honest. There's little snippets that you gather over the years, but the history side of it is something that he's been big on, and connecting the players with what Irish rugby means. So a really important milestone, even though it's kind of easy to gloss over it maybe and think, oh, you know, 150, what difference does it really make? He latches onto those things, and you couldn't get more of a legend, really, of a person than Ollie Campbell into camp. Absolute gent. I think I mentioned it recently. I was lucky enough to sit beside him at the Rugby Writers Awards night, and he's just such nice company. And he's, you know, obviously he was a brilliant player, and he's himself has a great grasp of the Irish history. So I can only imagine that was a great evening for them on Thursday evening as they get set for the game. You've been in Wallabies camp, was it yesterday, Ciarán, with Joe Schmid, and obviously he's been a big talking point this week. How did everything go there with a very familiar face?
A very familiar face, and that's pretty much the first thing he said when he came into the room yesterday. He kind of joked that he's been managing to keep a low profile since he left here, but then it was handshakes and smiles and taking in a few of those familiar faces that were in the room. It was fascinating to just kind of sit there in a Joe Schmidt press conference again and see glimpses of the Joe we would have known when he was Ireland head coach, and we were kind of covering him closely here week on week, but also really interesting to see how he's changed. And I think he has changed. Like, I had a piece up on the 42 last night about just how different his demeanour was particularly to the Joe Schmidt that we would have known towards the end of his time here in Ireland, because I think he even changed a bit across the 10 years he spent in Dublin. But he came in kind of packing jokes, you know. He was joking about his daughter still living in Dublin and being one of the few loss-making landlords in Dublin. He was joking about having pity for Johnny Sexton after hearing that Sexton wrote in his book that he still heard Schmidt's voice in his head right until the end of his playing career. It was a bit of a charm offensive, really, from Schmidt, and to the point where I'm half expecting to see his name on the ballot paper when I go to vote later on this evening. He stopped short of just handing out lollipops to us. And you were trying to get him drawn in a little bit more on the actual game itself, but he wasn't giving too much away. It did suit him to just kind of talk about how nice it is to be back in Ireland and how much he appreciates the respect and the love that he's felt walking around the place. Like, I asked him about how this Ireland team they're going to face tomorrow is different or has evolved to the one that he left in 2019. And he gave a little snippet in talking about the speed of play that comes with Jemison Gibson Park, but in a flash, he was just back to talking about his own team and how he's tried to build up the Wallabies. Maybe the clearest glimpse we got of the old Joe that we would have known was when he was asked about Keane Healy hitting that milestone and his favourite memories of Healy. His answer started off with talking about how Healy used to put on size so easily and quickly in the gym that he felt like he had to lock the gym door sometimes. But just like that, he was then talking about a play against Claremont in 2012 and Isaac Boss giving the ball to Rickard Strauss and Rob Kearney comes onto it and Keane Healy's coming off the shoulder. So that memory we would have known and that kind of recall he has for games and moments is still exceptional. I think the sense I got from him overall was that he is actually really enjoying being back in Ireland and going around the place, going into clubs, going around town, meeting up with old friends and kind of feeling some of that love and respect and status that Smith has, because obviously it didn't end the way he would have wanted to here, but I think he's getting a sense of what he means to a lot of rugby fans here this week, and I think he's going to get a pretty special reception in the Aviva tomorrow.
That play is a very good example of what he does. It's probably the Joe Schmidt classic play, isn't it? 210 bag hook, I think was what it was called at the time, and it morphed with Ireland. There was different variations on it, but it was a brilliant play that day, and he did a lot of damage with it and tweaks on it, and I can't wait to see what he has up his sleeve for this game and what potential weaknesses he's picked out in Ireland and how they go about attacking this Irish side, because so far defensively Ireland have been pretty good in November and over the last couple of years they've been excellent defensively. So it'll be fascinating just to see what he and his coaches, how they approach it. And he's got good practice really at the media side of things in Australia. I've never seen him do as much, and that's another indicator of where rugby union is in Australia. You have to be the salesperson out there, and he looks more comfortable than ever, I have to say. He definitely is more relaxed. I think it's a different job. You're coming in there, not that there's no pressure. I mean, he puts so much pressure on himself, but you're building from an absolutely disastrous debacle under Eddie Jones. And I think there was an understanding there that it would take time, and he flagged that there was going to be bad days, and there have been some really bad days for them, but they're slowly and surely getting there. And come the Lions series next year, they should be in a decent spot. But this one feels important for them to try and finish on a high note this year.
Yeah, just on that point, I think he has actually tweaked his approach a little bit and probably learned from maybe the way things ended in Ireland and little bits he would have done in the New Zealand job as well, because we were also speaking to Tom Wright and James Slipper yesterday, and they mentioned the fact that he actually didn't go full throttle when he first came in, was the way they put it. And, you know, if something happened in training and he lashed out at someone or shouted at someone, he'd actually come up and apologise straight away and say, you know, this is for the good of the team, it's nothing against you personally. And he's kind of slowly, I suppose, brought them into that kind of intensity you would expect from a Joe Schmidt camp and a Joe Schmidt training session. But particularly after the way things were under Eddie Jones, I think he's been conscious of coming in with a little bit of a lighter touch to help kind of pick this team back up to where he thinks they can be.
Ireland along very expected lines in the end, Kieran, with their selection. There's only one big talking point. What's your view on what it means that Sam Prendergast is 10 and the chance that's there for him?
Yeah, it's been so fascinating this week, really, because you've got these two really interesting threads running through the week when you've got, you know, the past of Irish rugby hanging over things with Joe Schmidt ahead of this 150th anniversary match. But then you've also got, you know, maybe the future in Sam Prendergast getting his big shot. Like, I understand where Andy Farrell is coming from with the decision, but when we were speaking about it, you know, after the game last week and what might happen this week, I did think he'd go with Jack Crowley again and maybe just give Prendergast that opportunity off the bench. I can understand it from Farrell's point of view in that, you know, this is his last game before he's off coaching the Lions. So this is the last chance he had to see Sam Prendergast running things throughout the week. Heading into a big test match, we're obviously expecting a different type of challenge and a more competitive game than Ireland got against Fiji. He's built this experienced team around him. Like, it's pretty much a first choice Ireland team, except Prendergast slots in for Crowley. It's Farrell's last chance to get a look at that and what Prendergast looks like in that situation. But it became pretty evident early in the week that it was going to be Prendergast and not Crowley. And like, It's tough on Crowley, but I understand where Farrell is coming from it. But I was surprised with the decision. We had Jack Crowley up for media on Tuesday, and I don't think Farrell had given the players the team yet at that point, but it was pretty evident from his body language, I think, that if Crowley didn't know by then, he at least had a sense. So, yeah, he felt a little bit... if he felt not like himself, and like I was chatting to a few journalists afterwards and we were kind of saying that looked like a guy who maybe got some news that he didn't want to get about selection this weekend. We'll have a piece, an interview with him on the 42 tomorrow morning. And like, for people who are maybe not familiar with how these things work, it's not unusual for the IRFU to put forward a player who's going to be a replacement for media duty during the week. But it is obviously unusual for it to be a player who's at the central, who's at the center of a kind of selection storm, if you want. But to be fair, Crowley spoke pretty well about the pressure that comes with the 10 jersey and the fact that, you know, you can never be comfortable in it. You can never feel like it's yours, and the work he has to do, the things he's trying to improve on, and how the three lads, Prendergast, Crowley, and obviously Kieran Frawley are kind of pushing each other in training. I'm fascinated to see how Crowley responds, because I'm kind of assuming he'll get his shot off the bench tomorrow. Maybe he gets 20 minutes at 10, closing out the game. Maybe he has to come in at centre or fullback. We don't know. But, you know, this week is going to be a real test of his character and personality, I guess. And we've seen a bit of that already in how he came back from the New Zealand game and played really well against Argentina. He has to go do it again this week and show Farrell that, look, you've made the wrong decision. It should be me from the start. I'm still your guy. It's been fascinating to watch it all unfold, but at the same time, I'm really excited to see how Sam Prendergast goes based off the glimpses we've seen from him, based on the way he ran things against Fiji. It's ramping up this week, and you know, he's got pressure on him to deliver as well.
What's your sense of what Farrell likes about him?
I think it's maybe his ambition and aggressive, almost like aggressive attempt. Like he's able to bring the ball to the line, he's able to make brave decisions, and the skill set. Skill set is what sets him apart. You know, all three of those lads have different strengths. Like I would say, Crowley's probably the best defender of the three. That's not an area that Prendergast is fully up to speed with yet, and that's an area he has to work on. And we kind of discussed that. But what Prendergast offers you is that kind of clear decision-making under pressure that reminds you of Sexton when you watch him. Like, he's obviously got the build and the frame that reminds you of a young Sexton anyway, but that ability to be in those pressure situations and produce something brilliant and read pressure situations calmly. The kick for the Hansen try was a good example of that, I think, last week. Like, Hansen's in an acre of space, but if you think of that situation from Prendergast's perspective, he gets the ball and he's got like seconds to, you know, pull off, execute the move properly, and he does it brilliantly. I think that's what Farrell likes about him and where he can go from here. Like, he's still only 21. We're only seeing the start of what this player can do. I'd love to get the unfiltered view of what Prendergast is actually like behind the scenes, what they've seen from him in camp, what they've seen about him in training. But from what we've seen on the pitch, I think he just offers you a little bit more in terms of the creativity. And he was maybe able to showcase that a little bit better against a team like Fiji, who offered Ireland so many ins into the game. It's going to be different against Australia. I think he'll find himself under a bit more pressure. I can't wait to see how he responds to it.
It's clear that he has the self-belief to take on the challenge, and it's such a massive opportunity. It really is. The last game of the autumn campaign, the chance to leave the lasting impression, and obviously what happens in the next couple of months provincially has an impact, but there's no currency with greater value than performing as a starter for Ireland. We know that as a fact. We know that as a fact. And so he'll be so determined to leave a big stamp on that jersey and, you know, put his hand up for Six Nations. But you're so right, Jack Crowley. We'll see. We'll find out all about him now. You know, as we discussed in the pause during the week, he is a tough character and he's competitive and he's resilient and he's got his own range of classy skills and is a good defender as well. So we're going to find out lots about him. And even in this game, you're right to flag it. It's probably being overlooked that he can have an instant impression coming off the bench whenever that happens. You never know. It could be earlier than we suspect, but he'll have a big part to play. There is also opportunity for Gus McCarthy on the bench again, the 21-year-old. He edges out Rob Herring, a much more experienced option there based on his performance last weekend. And Craig Casey also nudges in front of Conor Murray for the backup scrum half slot. Those selections in your eyes, have they been earned, Kieran? And does it give us a nod towards the future as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I was delighted to see Gus McCarthy get in there. I thought, like, after he played the way he did last week, you kind of had to go with him again because he couldn't have really done much more. And, you know, it is it's obviously a huge game, but it is a November test. There's not a huge amount on the line. Use these opportunities to give these guys chances. Gus McCarthy was great last week. It'll be great to see him come off the bench and see if he can make an impact again and not do it with the pressure and the nerves he felt last week, because it was very clear that he was nervous last week. He was emotional during the anthems. He's a little bit more used to that now. He's not going to be as overawed, I guess, by the occasion. He's kind of ready for it, knows what to expect. And likewise, Craig Casey, been around the squad a while, obviously, but still is frustrated week to week, I think, with being in the team, being out of the team. Like, it's been bloody hard for him, but thought he performed well last week. I'm just glad to see him on the bench again and see what he can offer. And there's, like, it's an interesting team selection because it is the last match of this November window and it is the last chance for Farrell to work with these players until he comes back from the Lions. Like, because we won't see any of these lads in an Ireland shirt again until February now, you kind of look back at how the month has gone for all of them and you're wondering, you know, where their heads are at and what they're all looking to achieve. And there's a few players there who I'd like to see just deliver a big performance tomorrow. And not necessarily guys who have been poor by any means over the month, but just guys who I think have maybe a bit more in them and can kind of step up again. Think of somebody like Mac Hansen, who obviously had his try last week, but I don't know if he's looked fully back to his best since coming from that shoulder injury, which kept him out for a long time. And some of that obviously has been down to the attack struggles Ireland have had as a unit. But I'd like to see him just get his hands on the ball a bit more and just show what he can do a bit more. Joe McCarthy is another one. He's had such an incredible year. I think McCarthy, Caelan Doris and Andrew Porter are the only players who have started every test for Ireland this year. Obviously, McCarthy is by far the least experienced of the three, but the fact that he's in that kind of company shows how much faith Andy Farrell has in him and how quickly he's become such an important part of this team. He's still kind of learning as he goes, I think. There's still bits of his game he needs to tidy up, discipline being an obvious one, but I don't think we've seen that real big dynamic performance from that he kicked off the year with in Marseille. He's doing a lot of great work kind of on the ground at the set piece around the breakdown, but I want to see him with the ball in his hands a bit more, see a few more of those kind of dynamic carries and that just destructive presence he could be. And there's a few other guys around the team as well who I think just will want to sign off the end of this chapter with Andy Farrell on a high. It's going to be a big occasion and there's a couple of guys there who I think will be kind of keen to just step up and show Farrell what they're about again.
And lots of talk over the last week from Ireland about this being the chance for the best of the autumn and getting another test where a lot of players from other nations have returned to their club sides and some of them even will play this weekend. So Ireland get a chance to, with all the emotion around the occasion with Healy and all that, Joe Schmidt back in town, it's a really prime opportunity to, as you say, prove a point and really, you know, decide the tone in which this autumn campaign will be viewed. The Wallabies with a number of changes in their selection. I suppose the big news is that Joseph Sualii is fit and available, and that's thrilling for me, certainly anyway, to get a chance to see his leaping power in the flesh and his, I suppose, dynamism and classy touches in the flesh. It's going to be exciting. Max Jorgensen, 20-year-old wing, comes into the starting back line. They've made changes at both prop slots. James Slipper, really experienced at loose head. And Taniela Tupou is back at tight head. Jeremy Williams back from injury in the second row. They're missing Will Skelton. Obviously, he's gone back to La Rochelle. And Fraser McWright at open side, who's been really outstanding for them this year. They're going to have a debutant off the bench in Tane Edmund, who's done well with the Waratahs and playing NPC in New Zealand as well. And they'll be excited about that. But what are your expectations and what are the big threats that Ireland are going to have to negate here, Ciarán, with the Wallabies?
Yeah, I don't know about expectations because I've kind of found the Wallabies a little bit difficult to figure out this year. But I'd love to see a performance like we saw in Twickenham. They were impressive against Wales the week after that as well. But, you know, Wales obviously different type of opposition to England at the moment. But what I really liked about the Twickenham game was how the Wallabies used their skill set. They were making brave decisions. They were backing themselves under pressure and they were getting the reward for it. They played some absolutely fantastic rugby and they can be such a dangerous attacking threat when they click like that. And that's the Australia I'd love to see tomorrow. I'd love to see them come here and really bring this game to Ireland and then use the little nuggets that they'll have from Schmidt kind of layered into that. there's going to be a moment where we look at each other in the press box tomorrow and say, that's Joe Schmidt right there. You know, like the line out try, obviously, in the quarterfinal against New Zealand. He's got something for this. He's got some little gem up his sleeve that he's going to show us tomorrow. I can't wait to see those little unique plays that he comes up with. He's such a master of breaking down defenses. I'm interested to see the little trick plays and what they come up to off those first kind of one or two phases on ball and how they set themselves up. They're an interesting team to watch at the moment because, like some of the players you've mentioned there, they are so young and it's still only coming together for them. And it's actually something the two Wallabies you spoke to yesterday mentioned, the fact that if you look through this team, you've got guys who are kind of came into the year with maybe less than 10 or 15 caps to their name, who are now getting to that kind of 30 cap level and getting a bit more of a feel for this. Like at lock, Jeremy Williams, he's 9 tests into his test career. Harry Wilson is captain. He's played 21 tests. Jorgensen, who you mentioned, he's on 6 tests. There's a couple others there who are kind of on that 24, 28 mark. So they're still kind of just finding their feet at this level a bit. And I think we've seen over this November, they're kind of starting to find out how they can play and what they can potentially become under Schmidt. And I think this November tour has been really beneficial for them in that aspect. They kind of spoke about how the fact that they're getting this time together on the pitch, but also just the kind of bonding and stuff away from the pitch. They're still getting to know each other a little bit as teammates in that sense, some of them. And I think this week will have been maybe kind of inspiring for them, if that's not too strong a word, because things are just starting to click for them really after what was a difficult rugby championship and some pretty horrible days there. But now they feel like they've some kind of momentum coming together and they've come to Ireland. They obviously know what Joe Schmidt, like they know his record. They know the type of coach he is, but they've walked around the place and seen the kind of respect he has here. But now, you know, they're looking at it going, well, he's our guy and this is what he can achieve with us as well. Like there was a point yesterday where somebody said to James Slipper that Joe Schmidt may as well have a statue on O'Connell Street. And James Slipper misheard him and thought, he said Joe Schmidt has a statue. And he wasn't surprised. He kind of just went, oh, he's got a statue. Yeah. Like that's what they've seen from the fans and supporters walking around town, the way they speak about Schmidt. So you can just imagine, like we're talking about the way Farrell frames weeks and the way he kind of channels that energy into his players. You can only imagine the type of thing that Schmidt is driving into his players this week. You've been out watching train a bit. Like it's an exciting week for him as well. And I think he'll have this team kind of primed to come here with a big performance tomorrow.
No pressure, Joe. It is going to be a cracking occasion. 3:10 tomorrow afternoon. We can't wait for that one. But it's a busy weekend ahead in the URC as well, Ciarán. It's flying under the radar, understandably, with the Ireland team still playing. But tonight, Friday night, Ulster host Leinster, 7:35. Connacht are going to play the Bulls tomorrow evening at 5:30 p.m. in Galway. And Munster hosts the Lions tomorrow evening, Saturday, 7:35 p.m. We're getting all the team news through now and it's exciting to see that kick into gear. And of course, listen, we're going to have so much cover over the next few weeks and months. The Champions Cup getting underway with the Challenge Cup as well next week. So it really is going to come thick and fast. But give us your sense of where the provinces are going to try and pick up and how important, I guess, a weekend it is, even though it is under the radar.
It is an important weekend because it's Champions Cup next week and this is your chance to kind of remind your coaches why you should be playing next week before the Ireland guys come back in. And looking at some of the team sheets that we've got, I'm excited to see Jimmy O'Brien back in a Leinster jersey again. I think Charlie Tector is an interesting selection there at centre. He went really well there earlier in the year, so just seeing how he can build on that. They've got Andrew Osborne on the wing. Champions Cup might be a bit of a push for him next week, but he's a really exciting player. There's some exciting selections in the Munster team as well, which I've kind of only just seen, but Evan O'Connell is in for his URC debut. You remember him coming on in that All Blacks 15 game and straight away winning a turnover. Just the roar of the crowd. What a moment for him. Highly promising player. It's great that they have Alex Nankervell back. That one's timely. Similarly, Thacker Abraham's back on the wing. You can kind of go through all the teams and there's little plots there that are interesting. These matches do fly under the radar a little bit when you've got an international on the weekend, but there's an awful lot to play for, definitely. And I'm looking forward to watching them all and getting stuck in.
A nice appetizer this evening anyway. An Interpro Derby is ideal build up. And of course, we'll be covering all that next week. We'll be back after the game tomorrow evening to wrap up Ireland's autumn campaign. Until then, Ciarán, thanks a mil, and cheers everyone for tuning in. We'll catch you tomorrow night. But the boys in the better land, you're always talking about the boys in the better land, the boys in the better land.